Well, hello, and welcome to another morning Bible study here with Brian First Brethren Church. I'm Pastor Luke, and we're gonna keep going through Exodus. We're almost finished with Exodus, and really, what we're doing today is we're kind of transitioning from the Exodus into Numbers because there Numbers and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy gives you kind of an overview of what happens. Numbers kind of continues the narrative on through from the Exodus material, but there is some overlap between Exodus and Numbers, and this is one of those places where there's some overlap. Is this Levitical census, the census that's taken when they are building the temple. So we're in Exodus chapter 38, verses 21 through 31. So why don't you go ahead and pause the audio, read Exodus 38, 21 through 31, and then we're going to dive into the text, and we're gonna really be rushing through this morning, okay? All right, so you've gone ahead, you've read this, you've unpaused it, so we're gonna dive right in. And honestly, we're not even gonna do our five W's this morning, because what I want us to look at is a very specific issue. So look in verse 25, and what you'll read is, the silver of those numbered in the community was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. One beka per person, that is a half shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, for everyone who crossed over to those numbered from 20 years old or older, 603,550 in all. Okay, so really, all we're going to focus on this morning are those two verses. The total amount of silver that was collected in the census, and then the amount of people that there were. Okay, so why is this significant? Why aren't we talking about the tabernacle? Well, we're not talking about the tabernacle and the articles of the tabernacle and the clothing of the tabernacle today, simply because if we did this, we would be spending months and months and months just moving through that material, because it's so thick, it's so dense, and it's so rich. I mean, it's really, really good. I have an entire book series in the pastor's study that goes over the things, the articles, the implements of the temple in the tabernacle. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, come and get it. Like, I've got it. It is for you to use if you go to church here. Like, this, I want you to use this stuff. but it would simply just take too long. We would spend way too much time on it, and it really wouldn't be helping us move through the Bible, which is our goal. My goal is not to give you exhaustive knowledge in every passage of every scripture in the entire Word of God, although that would be a great long-term goal. The purpose of this sermon series, the purpose of this Bible study series, is to get a rudimentary understanding, a fundamental understanding of the material of the Bible, and also understanding specific issues of dealing with bibliography. Bibliography is in not like how to write a bibliography, but like bibliography is in like how the Bible is written. Bibliology, how to study the Bible. So today we have a really interesting issue. Okay, now here's why this is an interesting issue. You say, okay, Luke, 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, 603,550 people in all. Cool, great. Why do I care? Okay, well, here's why we care. So right now, in contemporary scholarship, and this is not just contemporary scholarship, but there is the belief that the numbers of the people in the Exodus are way too high, like way too high to be accurate. That there is no way that the people of Israel numbered 603,550 people. That it's simply an unrealistic number. That many men would simply be. It's an impossibly high number. Is what some people call it. They call it an impossibly high number. And so what do they do? Well, there are some people who say that it was just just whatever. It was just a number that was hyperbole. It was just, and it's like, well, those seem like awfully specific numbers to just be hyperbole. You know, people talk about how, like, all the numbers end in five or zero, so there's some rounding. Okay, like, so there's some rounding. Or all the numbers happen to end in five and zero. Like, I don't know. I wasn't there counting. These are the numbers we have in the Bible. So, maybe in the census, Moses said, you know, count to the nearest five. That does not make the census any less valid, okay? Just because the Bible counts in fives, you know, no one would say that the U.S. census would be inaccurate if the census counted people by fives or tens or hundreds or thousands, because we have an enormous population. We have a population of over 300 million. If people counted to the nearest hundred, like, does anybody care? Like, no, because we recognize that rounding is a thing that you do in the world, especially if, let's say you're the person taking the census, okay? How do you think they're doing that? Do you think that in the census, Moses was just standing there and he was going, one, two. Come on, guys, hurry this line up. Three, four. No. What they were doing is they were probably having, my guess is, the leaders that were already there, okay, the leaders that already existed within Israel, all of those leaders were told, the leaders of the tribes told the leaders of the clans, told the leaders of the families, the rulers of the tens. By the way, remember, they're rulers of tens and stuff. So he would count, every ruler of tens would count to the nearest five how many people lived in his family. You know, if you have the rulers of tens, my guess is, I said before, my guess is that the rulers of tens were the rulers of 10 families, like 10 household units, 10 tent units. Okay, so if you're the ruler of 10 tent units, okay, 10 houses with a paterfamilias in it, a patriarch, you're counting those. Just count to the nearest five. You don't need to count to the nearest single unit, to the nearest single integer. Just count to the nearest five, and then that makes it easier for everybody. So you're collecting a whole bunch of numbers, and you're putting them together. It just makes it easier. Okay, but when you're dealing with numbers like 603,000, rounding is probably going to be helpful when you're trying to collect all of these different numbers and you're trying to do it at a reasonably fast pace. Now, it also could be that that number was an exact number, that was exactly the number of people that lived in there. But my guess is that wasn't the level of exactitude they wanted. I mean, think about this. If this number is accurate, which I believe it is, if the number of 603,550 men is accurate. Okay, that's a large population. They're going to be babies born every single day, right? Every single day they're going to be babies born. Now, they were only counting, by the way, they were only counting men 20 years old and older, okay? They were only counting those men. They weren't counting the women, they weren't counting the children, they were only counting men 20 years old or older. But what's happening every single day? Probably every single day, somebody is turning 20, right? Like, somebody's dying. Right? Every single day, somebody's dying, somebody's turning a year older. Like, things happen to population sizes. Populations move, they shift, they're never static, okay? So my guess is they just rounded because it was easier. It doesn't make it inaccurate, it just means that it doesn't mean it was false. It just means that that's the system they were using. They were rounding, and actually, rounding tends to be pretty accurate. Like when you do the overall sum of numbers that are rounded versus numbers that are taken with exactitude, normally rounded numbers are pretty close. So, anyways, so some people just say the numbers are made up. That doesn't hold water. Okay, like you can't take the Bible seriously and just say that it's made up. Now, some people will say that the numbers are multiplied by 100 or 1,000, and they don't give you a good reason for it. It's like, well, you know, like, I would take these numbers down by half. Why? Why half? Like, why are we doubling the number? Like, why is it 10 times bigger? Why is it 100 times bigger? Why is it 1,000 times bigger? You know, like, people just say this stuff, and they don't give you a real reason, and that's not good scholarship. That's just being a chump, okay? So, now, some people will say that the word for 1,000, okay, the Hebrew word for 1,000 is the word aleph, and it's basically spelled A-L-P, aleph, that probably would require some explanation why P makes the F sound. But anyways, long story short, it's the word aleph. Now, there's a word that's spelled the same way. Remember, Hebrew didn't write the vowels. Hebrew only wrote the consonants. So you have the letters A-L-P, and there's a similar word which means a clan. There's a similar word which means 1,000. There's a similar, so the word 1,000 can mean a clan, or it can also mean like a mighty warrior or a captain. Okay, so what some people are saying is that 603,550 in all does not mean that there were 603,000, but that there were 603 leaders, 603 clan leaders, or 603 captains. And these clan captains had, you know, their family underneath of them, and that meant that there were 603 clans in Israel with 550. So you say, well, what are the 550? Well, the 550 are the rabble. They're the Egyptians. They're the foreigners, the other Hebrews who are not Israelites, who didn't have a tribe, who followed along in the Exodus. Okay, well, I mean, maybe that makes sense. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand, because they're making a cogent argument that can be sustained from the biblical languages, okay? They're trying to take the Bible seriously. But here's the problem. This passage right here is a huge problem for anybody who doesn't want a literal number. If anybody who doesn't want 603,000, anybody who doesn't want a Hebrew census of 600,000 men, like 20 years old and older, you have to deal with this text. You have to deal with the scripture. So why am I saying you have to deal with the scripture? Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little math. So if you have a piece of paper, now is the time to grab your paper, and we're going to do just, like I said, we're going to do just a little bit of math, okay? Now, it says that the silver of those who were numbered in the community was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels. 1,775 shekels. Okay, so here's what we know. We know that there were 300 shekel or 3,000 shekels in a talent. Okay, so right on the top, write your 100. Excuse me, you write your 100 for your talents, and then multiply 100 by 3,000. Okay, so that should give you 300,000, right? 300,000. Oh, and then you also have, so that gives it, so you have 300,000 shekels plus 1,775 shekels. So that should give you 301,775 shekels, according to the sanctuary shekel. And then the number, so that gives you the total number of shekels. Now, a Becca is not only a girl like with the name Rebecca, but a Becca is also a half of a shekel, okay? So a Becca, so you have 301,775 shekels. Multiply that by 2 because you want to know how many Beccas there are. And how many Beccas does that give you? Well, that gives you 603,550 Beccas in all. Now, how many Beccas per person were required? 1 Becca per person, which means the total mass of silver matches up exactly with the total number of people who were reported in the census. If you have 603,550 people each giving a Becca of silver, okay, that's 603,550 Beccas. You turn that into shekels, so you divide that by 2, and you get 301,775 shekels. Then you divide that by 3,000 to get you into talents and shekels, and what do you have? You have 100 talents and 1,775 shekels. Okay. What does that mean? That means that if you want to take the numbers, if you want to take the measurements, the weights that are in verses 25 through 28 seriously, you have to take the census seriously. Like one of these, if the census of Israel is inaccurate, let me put it this way. If the census of Israel is inaccurate, if we're not looking at a population of Israelite men of over 600,000, you know what that means? That means that these numbers here are completely preposterous, that these numbers are not doable. They're not reasonable. And you say, well, Luke, maybe the Becca was, maybe the Becca was a half of a shekel, but maybe a shekel was, really like, maybe the shekel was, there were a lot fewer shekels per talent than you think. Okay, well, here's the problem. Let's say you want to say that there weren't 3,000 shekels, there were only 300 shekels in a talent. Okay, that would drop your numbers by a factor of 10, and that would get you 60,000 Israelite men, which I think is still high to some people. Some people would really like that number dropped drastically. I mean, they want to see the total Israelite population being under 100,000 and probably closer to 50,000, and depending on who the scholar is, they want it even lower than that. I mean, there are some people who want who are like extreme minimalists who say, yeah, there was an exodus, but it was only dribs and drabs of people, and we're probably looking at people in the hundreds. Okay, well, if that's going to be your argument, then you're a ridiculous person, and don't pretend to be taking the Bible seriously, because you're not. Okay, for people who want to take the Bible seriously, and you say, well, what if the sanctuary shekel was off by a factor of 10? The shekel is not really 1/3,000th. Of a talent, but it's 1/1,000th. Well, now you've got the problem of the remainder, right? Like, it only makes sense for the community. It says that the silver of those numbered in the community was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels. Okay, well, here's the problem. You wouldn't say that it was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels if a talent was fewer than 1,775 shekels. You could say, well, maybe the talent was only 2,000 shekels. Okay, well here we got a problem. We have a problem because, one, that means that whoever wrote the Exodus doesn't know how to do math, right? they just don't know how to do math, because that's a problem. Now, perhaps that it's off, But the problem is that we have corroborating numbers. We have corroborating masses of weight, and we have corroborating numbers of people, okay? It works out. It actually makes sense. Like, you can't just get away from this. So either you accept it all or you throw it away and say that it's an error. Now, some people are going to say, and this is the classic answer, is, well, this was a redaction. People came back later and they said, oh, no, we've got a problem because we've got to somehow corroborate this large number. Well, first of all, I can't imagine who was thinking that. Like who in days gone by would be adding these numbers in to try to verify to a scientific degree the large size of a population group? Like, this isn't stuff you redact. Like, these numbers aren't things that you do. If you're not going to give detailed information about the census about every single one of the tribes. Okay, so if you want a reasonable answer, if you want a reasonable interpretation that tries to take the Bible seriously, you know what? I think that maybe saying that there are clans works a little bit. I mean, you're at least trying to deal with the biblical material. But the fact is that this verse right here, this verse, I think explodes that argument. And I cannot think of a single good reason why that would be redacted. Because nobody in the ancient world would be coming back and saying, well, those numbers are ridiculous. Like, come on, guys. Like, if people are just changing the Bible willy-nilly, they're not going to add this detail in. This is a needlessly complicated detail to add in to try to corroborate the size of the population, which I don't think anybody in the ancient world was questioning whether the size of the Israelite Exodus was that big. Okay, so what standard am I using? Okay, well, first of all, there's internal consistency and coherence and cogency, right? Like, you cannot significantly or substantially shrink the population of Israel without saying that these numbers are erroneous. And you can't say that these numbers are accurate without holding on to a large plus 600,000 population of Exodus in the Exodus, right? Like, they go together. So either you have either both of them are wrong or not, or both of them are correct. But you can't be one or the other. They're either both correct or they're both wrong. Now, here's the question. Why would, and this is the important question, and this is one that I really think everybody should ask themselves. Why would they make this up? Why would you add this detail? This is a needlessly complicated detail. If you want to argue with somebody about the size of the population, this is not a detail you're going to add because it's so complicated. It's so complicated. That's not how forgeries work. That's not how fraud works. That's not how redaction works. You don't go in with literary fraud and write in these incredibly small things to deal with people arguing with you. Like, that's just not how that happens, right? Like, it's needlessly complicated. Anyways, so here's my point. Am I saying that anybody who doubts the total population of the Israelite Exodus, that they are unchristian? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is I think that we should have much better reasons for questioning the data in the Bible before we question it. There are a lot of good reasons to believe that the population was this big. Now, does it create problems? Well, maybe. Maybe it creates problems. I mean, there are certainly some logistical problems. Maybe it creates problems, or maybe it demonstrates the incredible goodness and greatness of God. I think that makes a lot more sense. Anyways, we could talk about the population of Israel all day long, but we really must keep going. I said I was going to be shorter today, and I actually ran longer, so I apologize. Anyways, I just got so caught up and so excited about talking about this. So anyways, thank you for your time, and I hope you're having a great day. God bless. Bye.